going so we can get you out on time. Oh, yes, we need to sign the... Thank you, Steve. You're such a good guy. We need to sign those red things at the end of your bulletins or at the end of your rows there. What are they called again? Registries. Registry. Yeah. Sign those and pass it down if you would. Okay, if you've gotten your bulletin, we're just gonna start off by reading this passage of scripture that's first listed there. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. We're gonna read that together. Then the rest of the scriptures, for the sake of time, I'm just gonna read to you as I go through. I want to get through this quickly and get you out on time. So let's read this together. Here we go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with patience, perseverance, the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So the message comes from this part of scripture that talks about the Christian life being a race. And we all get that, right? I mean, I was in Boston a few weeks ago, and on Friday night, text message comes in. Now, I left town to go to Boston, and when I left, my sister, who's 18 months younger than me, she's just in the hospital with a blood clot. And no big deal, nothing to really be concerned about. And then Friday night, the message comes in, and I knew that nobody would have bothered me unless it was important, and she was on Friday diagnosed with leukemia, and by Monday, transported by ambulance to the University of Chicago hospitals. And so, you know, you're running the race, you're living life, you're going through your plans, you're making your plans, you're living your life, you're doing everything the way you think it should be, and then all of a sudden, the diagnosis comes in, or the phone call comes that you don't want to get, or that relationship falls apart that you've been holding on to, or sickness comes, or a financial struggle comes. And often throughout the New Testament, often the New Testament writers are talking to a group of people and they're saying, look, you're running the race, and then all of a sudden something happens. All of a sudden circumstances change. All of a sudden things get to be a little tougher than they were. And so he says in Hebrews, this whole book is about basically the superiority of Christ. If you look at the theme of Hebrews and you study each chapter, you find out that almost like the NCAA brackets are made, here's the Hebrew writer and he's saying, look, the old covenant, and he's putting that on one line and he's putting Jesus on another and he's saying, okay, which is better? Well, Jesus is better. So we move Jesus to this bracket. And he says, Jesus or your present struggles? Well, Jesus is better. And so you move Jesus to that bracket. And all throughout those chapters, Jesus and the angels, Jesus is better. Jesus and the prophets, Jesus is better. Jesus and your guilt and your shame, Jesus is better. And so this passage of scripture is talking about fixing our eyes on Jesus so that we will not grow weary and lose heart, so that we will not just stop running the race. And so the thing I want to focus on today is the phrase in this passage that says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so he's going to identify two things for us. There's everything that hinders, and then there's this specific sin, the sin that so easily entangles, the sin. And he's going to identify a specific sin there in that. And I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But if we look up this word throw off, if we translate that, that's what we're to do with those things that hinder us, those things that slow us down on the race, is we're to throw them off. This comes from a compound word in the Greek, two words put together, which literally translated means set it aside and push it out of reach. Set it aside, push it out of reach. Now, a couple of Valentine's days ago, I had my kids and my wife, I love to eat M&Ms, so they love to buy me the M&Ms that I love to eat. So I'm sitting there the day after Valentine's Day, two big 1-pound bags of M&Ms sitting next to my chair. I'm doing what most of y'all do. It's a Friday night. I'm binging on Netflix, and I'm, you know, eating things that are unhealthy for me. And I noticed that as I'm sitting here, I've just opened up one bag of M&Ms, and it's like 3/4 of the way gone. I'm thinking, well, I don't... need to eat pounds of M&Ms, so I just set them aside. And as I'm watching more and more of the show, next thing I know, I don't even know it. I haven't even realized it, but I've ate the rest of that bag and I moved on to the second one. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not good. That's not good for my health. So I take those M&Ms, I pick up that bag, I take it and put it across the room on a different table, set it down over there, go back and sit down. So that now what's been tripping me up won't keep tripping me up. I set it aside and push it out of the reach. Now if I want those M&Ms, I got to get up from the show, walk across the room, get the M&Ms, sit down with the M&Ms, and in that amount of time, I can hope that I come to my senses. And so, you know, the thing is we don't want in the Christian life, as we run this race, we're running, that's kind of the story, where we haven't really made much progress because it's the same stuff. The same thing that keeps tripping us up continues to trip us up. And the Hebrew writer says we need to set it aside and push it out of reach. So there's two categories here. There's everything that hinders, okay? Just a broad term, everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles. So everything that hinders, the word hinders is a noun. It's a very generic word and just literally means any kind of weight. So any kind of weight. The New Living Translation puts it that way. It says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Every weight. If you're in a race that's long and it's difficult, there are some weights that you can manage perhaps for a lap or two, but after enough time, no matter how determined you are, any weight will slow you down. Eventually, it's going to be more than you can handle. That's kind of the nature of weight. The longer you carry it, the heavier it seems to be, right? And so the Hebrews writer is saying, set aside every weight, everything that hinders. Now, what hinders you might not hinder me. What hinders me might not hinder you. He's just using this junk drawer approach. How many of you have a junk drawer at home where just a drawer that just stuff goes in? And if you can't find something, I mean, it's worth checking the junk drawer, right? I mean, it might be in there. And so we kind of take this, that's a junk drawer approach to this everything that hinders, okay? Could be anything. What I want to do is just take a couple of things and kind of unpack them for you. So one thing I think that would hinder in our lives would be just the anxiety and the pressure of life. Stress. Stress slows us down from running the race that God has called us to, right? Stress kind of gets in the way. Anxiety gets in the way. And Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 13. He talked about just the pressures of life choking out the work of God in our lives. And some of you get that. You know, the pressures of life, it's like you start out the Christian race and then all of a sudden, visually, it's kind of like someone hands you a 45-pound weight. And you're running the race, but how do you keep running when you carry that 45-pound plate, right? The 45-pound plate that they put on the bar at the gym, somebody hands you that and you got to keep running. And so, you know, the word comes in that it's a major illness, or the word comes in that you found out about an affair, or the word comes in that you're watching a child self-destruct, and it's a huge weight. And then for some of us, it's like a lot of 5 and 10 pounders, right? Like, you know, 5 pounds, not that much to carry, but multiple 5 pounds, 5 pounds and 10 pounds, and altogether it weighs 45 pounds. And so, you know, things are just really busy, and then the flu season starts, and the flu gets passed around your house, and then the next thing you know, a pipe breaks, and then the next thing you know, an unexpected bill comes due. And, you know, any one of those things, you could carry that, right? You could carry that and run the race. But when they're all piled on at one time, it starts to feel like too much to bear. So that's one thing that could hinder us is just the stress and the anxiety of life. It just weighs us down as we run this race. I think another thing that weighs us down as we run this race is religion. Now, We don't like to think of religion in those terms. We don't like to think that religion could slow us down. We think of religion as being synonymous with faith, but it truly is not. And in the New Testament, as you read, you'll find all these Jewish Christians who were hindered by the traditions of their fathers, who were trying to run the race. They're trying to follow Jesus. They're trying to fix their eyes on Jesus. But the weight of religion, the weight of the traditions, the weight of the bearing of the burden of religious leaders pushing down on them constantly made them reevaluate and slowed them down in the race. They have this pressure from other people and expectations from their heritage. Traditions are trying to keep, and it all just feels overwhelming. And so Jesus, he says in Matthew 23, 4, he's talking about the religious leaders, but they're like, they're in the room. So it's awkward. I love how Jesus talks about people when they're in the room. He says this in Matthew 23, 4, they crush people. So here's that imagery of a weight that's in your bulletin there. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. They just keep adding more weight. And for some of you, this was your church experience growing up. You go to church and the pastor, the priest, every week it's another weight. And you're trying, but it's tiring. And you come in and you're exhausted. Instead of getting a finger to help, you're getting more weight put on. Keep trying. You're not trying hard enough. If you just tried a little harder, maybe next week. And so far, I know for a lot of you, that's the way it was growing up. And maybe, you know, maybe honestly, you loved God. You really loved God. And you wanted to have faith. Maybe you wanted to make your parents or your grandparents happy. But it got to be too much. It was just exhausting. You were failing anyway. And the weight of that failure and the weight of that guilt, it was just more than you could bear from religion. So you just walked away from it. And I don't blame you. A lot of people do. Or maybe let's talk about maybe sin struggles. Maybe everything that hinders could be sin struggles. We all struggle with some sins, right? We all have specific sins that we deal with personally. And we all have these different struggles, these different temptations, and they just keep tripping us up. So the Hebrew writer says you throw those off. You repent, you confess, you accountability, you resist them. And you get a feel for how intensely we're supposed to resist them when you read Hebrews 12:4. In your struggle against sin, he says, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. You're not bleeding yet. Right? So like when I was growing up, I had a great mom. It was a different time. They kicked you out the door in the morning and you didn't come back till the streetlights came on. Okay. You didn't sit down and play video games all day or watch TV. Like I had one of those moms that we went out and we played. And like other friends' moms, like if they got a hangnail, they'd go home, be eating chicken noodle soup and watching TV all day. My mom, she took a different approach. Like her thing that she said to me a lot when I would come back injured or whatever, are you bleeding? Because if you're not bleeding, then get back out there. If you're not bleeding yet, just go ahead and get back out there. And that's kind of the way I grew up, was like, well, I'm not bleeding, so I must be okay to keep out there. That's what the Hebrew writer's saying. Look, in your struggle against sin, you're not bleeding yet. You've not given it all you've got yet. And what we're supposed to do is resist sin. The Hebrew writer's saying, look, you're not bleeding. Get back in the game. Keep resisting sin. Maybe we can talk when you're bleeding, but you're not even bleeding yet. And so you see, that's the intensity with which we're to resist the sin in our lives. And that's so foreign for us, really, isn't it? I mean, we make excuses for it. We blame God for it. This is the way you made me, God, so it's got to be your fault. And we're supposed to resist. We were supposed to bleed. We were supposed to give it all we had in our struggle against sin. So I'm going to wrap this up for you real quick here. If you think of the weights as being the things that hinder us, okay? So I'm trying to give you something visual. The sin, the specific sin, he's moved from the generic, general to specific, okay? The sin that so easily entangles. Maybe I thought about that. Maybe that's, you know, in James chapter 2, he talks about the big three, pride, lust, greed. Maybe it's one of those. Pride, that's got to be the sin that so easily entangles us, right? I don't think so. When you read this in context with Hebrews chapter 11, the sin that so easily entangles would have to be the sin of not having faith, the sin of unbelief. And you say, well, is that a sin? Yeah, that's a sin. Add it to the list too, sorry. But it's the sin of unbelief. So think about this. The sin of unbelief would be the bar that all the weight is put on. Think about that. You're at the gym. You've got a bar, 45 pounds is put on it. Now, if I have the sin of unbelief, then all of a sudden the pressure, the stress of life becomes more than I can bear. If I don't believe in who God is and what God has said and what God is doing, if I don't believe in those things, then that weight gets piled on there and it's more than I can bear. The stress and the anxiety of life. Or think about religion. If I don't believe the sacrifice of Jesus was enough to pay for my sin, if I have the sin of unbelief, if I don't believe that what Jesus says and what God has said about me is more important than what people say and what this one says or that one says, then that weight of religion, I'm getting caught up in trying to earn it. I'll get caught up in trying to be good enough and trying to impress you and trying to impress someone else. But if I believe the sacrifice of Jesus is enough, then I can set it aside, push it out of reach. Or what about our sin? Our sin struggles. Think about that. The power of sin over me, the power of sin over me is the fact that I don't really believe that Jesus is better than my sin. I don't really believe that Jesus is better than some pleasure or something else that's out there. I don't, that sin of unbelief makes it so that sin struggle is unbearable. But if I believe in who God is and what God has said, then I can set it aside and push it out of reach. It comes down to belief. And I'm going to go down to the very last scripture in your bulletin. And here's what Hebrews says in Hebrews 10:22, that because of what Jesus has done for us, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Like, do you believe that? Do you believe that the sacrifice of Jesus was enough? Do you believe that we can go right into the presence of God? Because if you don't believe it, then you'll walk out of here carrying the same weight you walked in here with, if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, it changes everything. If you believe that the stress and anxiety of life is in God's hands, if you believe that bad news you received, is He's got it all under control, if you believe that religion doesn't hold a power over you, if you believe that sin no longer holds you down, then that can make all the difference in the world. Let's pray. Father, we come before You now and we just ask, God, that You speak to us the only way that You can, Lord, and through our hearts and into our lives through Your word. And Lord, may it not return void. Lord, bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back again together in Your midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.